Hey, what's happening, guys? It's Ezra here at Moto247, and this is episode 27 of the Moto247 show. It's been a little bit since our last episode. Our last one was right before the final round of the outdoor season at Fox Raceway, I believe, and not that much has happened since then. Just a lot more rumors that have been going around the moto world. That, along with Dylan Ferrandis, obviously won the 450 championship. That's really no surprise there. He had a big lead going into the final round, and it was almost impossible for him to lose that title. And then Jet Lawrence won the 250 championship, as you guys know, and kind of the same deal for him. Like, he didn't have the lead like Ferrandis did, but after Justin Cooper's mistakes at Washougal, it seemed like it was Jet's championship to lose at that point, and he ended up getting that title. And that's pretty much it. So that's all that's happened really since our last episode. Just like I said, more rumors going around, and it's September 30th right now, so tomorrow's October 1st, so we might hear some more stuff being announced. Who knows, Eli Tomac might make it official tomorrow and go into Yamaha. You got Jason Anderson rumored to go to Kawasaki. Mookie is already signed with Husqvarna, and then there's a lot more rumors as well. But anyways, getting to today's episode. Today, we are having Tyler Smith on. He is a professional BMX rider out of Florida, also a moto guy, and he actually played in our Supercross the Game championship that we had going on for a few seasons on PS4, and definitely a lot of fun on that as well. But anyways, hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you guys are looking to buy or sell new or used motocross gear, you should definitely check out Shop Moto247. We're just getting going, and we have a little bit of gear in stock, not too much. And we definitely need to get some more gear in stock. So if you're looking to sell your gear, hit us up. DM us on Instagram at moto.247 or our Shop Moto247 page on there. And if you click our link in our bio, it takes you right to our website where we have everything on there. We got everything from our store. We got some more esports stuff going on. Then we have a few other things going on there as well. But getting back to Shop Moto247, we are buying and selling new and used motocross gear. So yeah, if you want to sell something, hit us up. And then if you're looking to buy something but don't want to pay the outrageous prices that some of this motocross gear is going on, or going for, I should say, now, check out our website and see what deals we have. And like I said, we have new and used stuff, so we got some stuff on there right now, and hopefully we'll get some more soon. So check it out. And if you are on Instagram, you can go directly to our website, which is www.themoto247.com. And we're going episode 27 of the Moto247 show here with Tyler Smith. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Just another day in paradise here in Florida.
Yeah, I've seen some of your videos and a little jealous up here in Michigan. And well, besides all, I saw some videos of rain that was pretty bad. You know how Florida is, but
yeah.
Been seeing that over the winter too, and I'm like, and here was snow, and now it's getting cold up here again. So kind of sucks. Seems like you guys got a setup going on down there.
Yeah, it's perfect right now this time of year. It doesn't really rain much, but we just got out of our rainy season, and it would literally rain every day. There was not a day that it wouldn't rain. So, but the rainy days outweigh the better days, or however it says it. The better days outweigh the rainy days.
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely love it down there. Actually went down there for Daytona. It was actually
That's
an example. That was really cold that time. But I think there might have been like the day we left, I believe it was nice, but it was whatever in March or mid March, and it was really cold. But besides that, like the last day or two was really nice.
It was nice, yeah.
But anyways, what are you thinking about all these rumors going on right now? October 1st, I think, is going to be actually tomorrow, which is going to be the official, day when these
are it'll definitely be interesting and honestly kind of weird to see Eli on a Yamaha. So that'll be different to get used. That'll be weird to get used to. It'd also be I'm curious to see how Supercross goes just with Ferrandis coming off such a dominating outdoors, and then him and Eli kind of battling. Well, not really even battling, because Dylan pretty much just smoked everybody. So it'll be good to see how they are as teammates, and as well as Eli is on the Yamaha. And then I'm pretty sure the rumors are that Anderson is going to Cali, right?
Yeah, that'll be really
Yeah.
weird.
Yeah, but I'm super stoked for Malcolm Mookie to get on Rockstar Husky. I think he, dude, he might surprise some people this year.
Yeah, I think he's like he showed flashes of speed and brilliance and everything, and yeah, I'm pumped for him. I think he's training down at the Baker factory as well, so you know, matching him up with Alvin Baker and the Husky team there, I think that's gonna be some good results he's gonna put in.
Yeah, definitely with his talent and how good he is at just on the bike and everything, and I feel like with a little bit better training and a better program, it honestly could be deadly.
And I'm really excited to see him race outdoors. Like, it's been forever, it seems like. I was trying to think, when was his last outdoor season, like, full time? Like,
Yeah.
I only done, like, here, like, a few here and there since his last year. But, like, the last thing I could remember, which I don't know if it was his last year or what, but it was when he was on TLD, when it was the Troy Lee Designs Honda team back in, like, that had to be, like,
Yeah,
team
that was a
maybe.
long time ago.
So, like, he was on the 450 then too. Like I think he was 250 indoor, 450 outdoor.
450 outdoor.
Correctly, I know for sure he was 450 outdoor, and I remember he was just absolutely hauling. And obviously, I think he's got a lot better since then. But I
Yeah,
mean,
definitely.
really pumped to see him race full time again.
Then I believe Marv just signed an SX only. Isn't someone else coming to KTM? Oh, Aaron Plessinger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he's going to KTM. That
I
could be
feel like
good for him too, because he started getting really good this year on the outdoors. So could be just another really good move. It's crazy. I feel like since I've been following Supercross, this is like the most moves that have went down on an off season, or at least big moves.
yeah, I'm trying to think back. I'm like, it seems like every once in a while it's move or a year where everyone moves teams and switches everything up, but yeah, it's been a long time since our last one, and maybe dating back to when Bubba and Chad Reed
Yeah.
and well, a little bit after Ricky, but when they're all in their prime, and yeah, it's been like a good 10 years or so. I was happy to think, but yeah, just I think everyone's gonna like really have to get used to it. Like I know every year in the 250 class, they always change the numbers, and that's not that big of a deal at all. But I'm just saying, Chad Reed,
Yeah.
you know. Seeing whoever like goes with a new number, but now you're gonna see like you said earlier with Tomac and a Yamaha, and Jason Anderson going over to Cowie, and Plessinger the KTM Mookie already made it official on Husky there,
Yeah.
and McElrath, yeah, he went to the Rocky Mountain, and that's
Oh
official.
yeah, I forgot about
And
that. Yeah, that'll be good for him. Hopefully he can get like a full healthy season, and even since we didn't really get really any glimpse of him. I went to the first Orlando Supercross last year, and he was or either went to the first or second one, and he was there, but I think that was his first race back, so he definitely wasn't in true McElrath form.
Yeah, like he was that last year on the 250, he was really good. I was really excited to see what he would do on the 450, and it's just so crazy. I feel like we talk about this a lot on the podcast here of just how stacked it is, and no matter like how stacked it is, like, it seems like each year it keeps on getting the field gets deeper and deeper, and it's like impossible to land a ride unless you like won like a 250 title, and like
Yeah.
McElrath. The rider that you think would deserve a 450 ride, and there's guys like him, Savatgy, that were struggling to find rides, and even Savatgy, like when he was on Cowie, when he got bumped up into the 450 class for that 1 year, when he was teammates there with Tomac, like he was honestly putting in some really good rides, and still, like with AC coming over, there's no room for him, so he was
Yeah.
left searching for a ride. So it's like, what do these guys have to do? Like, I feel like all these guys in the satellite teams are, you date back to 10 years ago, they're like factory riders.
Yeah, basically. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, then the 250
Yeah.
class is that way too, so it's like pretty scary if you're a rider, you know, trying to find a ride. And but it's cool to see like all the satellite teams like Club MX, Phoenix Racing, And heck, there's a ton out there that are really stepping up this year, and they're actually landing some really good riders. Unfortunately for the FXR Chaparral Honda team, owned by Michael Lindsay, there that team is going under, which really sucked because they had Mumford, which was a huge name when they got him.
Yeah.
And then had Cody Shock, which I don't think too many people knew Cody.
He's a staple now. He's like a staple name now. Like, I was actually just about to say that. Like, I'm bummed that, you know, hopefully he finds something or gets some kind of help or something like that. I think Carson Mumford posted on Instagram or something like that. He was looking for a Suzuki 250. So I think he might, I don't know the actual name of it, but I think he might be on that 250 Suzuki team. I don't know the name of it, but I think that's where he's going.
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm not too sure the name. Do you know it?
Yeah, I think it's the Bar X Chaparral something else team.
I think that might be it, yeah.
And they actually did pretty good too, and everyone was surprised with them because they got Dylan Schwartz, which had a really good year in Supercross. I didn't follow him too much in Supercross, but in the outdoors, I was, and he did really good. Then Preston Kilroy came up after the Loretta's and did a few races there, and he made his pro debut and looked really good as well. And but going back to the Honda team, yeah, Cody Schock, I remember watching him at Daytona, and I could have swore he was in like second or third for like a good 10 minutes or so, or even more, of the main event. And I just remember rooting for him because I really didn't know who the dude was, and I'm just like, you know, that underdog story.
Those are the best.
Times, but still, like, he got a top 10 result there, and he looked really good on the 250. Then when he got bumped up to the 450s, he didn't look any worse. He looked, in my opinion, he looked way better, and he was getting top 10s, and I think he even got like I know for sure he got a couple sixth places, but maybe fifth.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, right around there, though. But then I even heard people on social media talking crap about how there's so many riders out. Like, AC was out.
I don't think it matters. If you're there, you're there.
Yeah, and still, like, he was battling with Bogle. Like, not like he was getting dropped by all these huge-name guys. Like, they put the camera on a lot, and he was always battling with those guys. And you can look on the timing and scoring, and he was always, battling and even passing those guys.
I think as far as 250 goes for Supercross, I'm going to say whatever coast Jet goes to, I think he's just going to get it done. I think he knows how to get a championship done now from getting outdoors. He knows the pressure of the final race and almost losing it. So I think that whatever coast he goes on, I think it's going to be hard to beat him.
Yeah, for sure. I thought he was going to win it all this year. And he has that style.
Yeah, I agree.
Only 17. He just turned 18 recently, I think, but he was 17 in this Supercross season, and just the way he looked compared to his big crash in Anaheim 2, his rookie season, like, he just looked way more mature, and obviously he still had some kinks to work out later in the year, but like, he just, his whole riding style was really smooth and precise, and he's honestly beautiful to watch. I think that's what everyone's
saying. Yeah.
But, you know, he had those few mistakes, which, you know, why he couldn't get the championship done, but and some bad luck in there as well. But yeah, this year, or going into next year, next Supercross season, yeah, I definitely agree with you. He has to go up against what Cooper won the East Coast, or those coasts got mixed up.
Cooper, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they have. Do they have the coast out yet? Like, who's racing what coast, or is it? I can't remember when they announced that or show it.
No. I would assume that would probably be like late December.
Yeah, closer. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so I hate that because going into the first round, it seems like there's like some riders that announce it, but most of them like don't, and you're just kind of sitting there like trying to, if you're doing fantasy,
yeah, figure it out.
Trying to figure it out.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's tough like that.
Yeah, and, but for sure he would have to go up against Cooper. Cooper,
Or Colt. And then Mosman's always tough.
Yeah, Mosman was really good. He actually looked really good in that final round at Fox Raceway.
Had a little tip over, but yeah, he's looking really good, and a lot of new guys coming up as well. It's like you can't be off your game at all. So no, I think definitely. This is what his third year, Jets' third year of Supercross. So
yeah, it'll be his third year, going on third.
Yeah, and I keep on hearing all these things about Jet is a generational talent, and then I heard guys arguing that by saying it's, well, he's been in the ranks for 2 years now, and he now got the outdoor title, but besides that, like, he hasn't won a Supercross title yet, but I guess next year we'll answer a lot of questions on that, and it should be really entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be hard for him not to win it this upcoming season. I mean, he's got to be one of the favorites. But, I mean, obviously, he could still make the same mistakes and everything. You would think he wouldn't, but we won't know until we know, until we watch it.
Yeah, and then you got guys like his brother, Hunter Lawrence, in there as well.
Well, Hunter's definitely going to race the opposite coast of him, like, for sure. There's no way. But, like, you know, you have McAdoo. Like we already said, Colt, Cooper, Mosen, Joe Shimoda could be, you know, going fast again.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, so, and then Max Bolin. So, yeah. It's tough, dude. RJ, I forgot about that.
Craig's 250 for Supercross.
Oh, yeah. Dang. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's... like trying to make predictions, and we always do our like top three picks going into each round during the outdoor season this year. And it was like for both classes, it was like honestly, we have no idea. Like it's so hard to make any picks. And if you want to like talking about Supercross, it's like even if everyone announced which coast they were running, it's like I have no idea. Like this person could be first or they could be fifth. I think with Jeff, obviously isn't going to be fifth. Or, like maybe if he, you know, makes a mistake or whatever, but
yeah, you would think not, but
guys like Shimoda and all these up and coming guys like Kitchen, who knows what he's gonna do. Supercross, he looked really good in the outdoors in the last few rounds there,
but, yeah,
yeah. And then I heard, the rumor, or not the rumor, actually, Cody Shock said this himself. Cody said, a few months ago that Honda wanted him to race the 250 class going into Supercross and kind of, you know, prove himself there. But who knows now, because he's not obviously on that team since it folded. So that'll be interesting too, to see if he carries that momentum over into Supercross and if he's still going to do 250 or what.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, but it should be a really good year. It's always entertaining. And I was thinking the whole thing with the FIM being dropped out of the Supercross.
Aren't they trying to make their own like series? Like they're trying to find like a big sponsor to fund it all and make like another separate series. Yeah, that one. Yeah. I mean, if it does happen, it's like who's even going to race that?
Yeah, true. Because the name of, you know, the Supercross being over the States, the Monster Energy Supercross Championship, over here. And then if you move it over to Europe where like the GPs are at, I don't think not that many guys are gonna jump over and do that championship, because I don't know if the money's gonna be there. Just my opinion. And then the competition too, like let's say Hurlings wants to go all in and do Supercross over there, and it's like, well, who's gonna be racing against them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's obviously not going to be as stacked as Supercross over here, but
no, definitely not.
And I don't know if they're going to pull it off. And I know it was like they wanted someone from like 2022 to 2031 or something, but I don't know if they're
going to. Yeah, so that's a lot of money to commit for a long time.
Yeah, maybe like one of the Australian, like there's the Australian Championship that's been out since
COVID. Oh, yeah, the Supercross.
Yeah.
Australian Championship.
I think Germany has one. There's a few like countries over
there. Like one.
Do their own. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to be nearly on the scale of what we have going on over here.
Definitely not. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I like think too much of it. Like I saw that post about the FIM or the AMA dropping the FIM, and I'm like, okay, whatever. It's honestly, I was kind of happy. I think everyone's fed up with the FIM after all those crazy things over the last couple of years. But yeah, then they posted how they're looking for someone. I'm like, oh, they actually might be interested now. But they really have to go all in, I feel like, they actually have something work and have it be legitimate. I hear them.
They're, I don't see it happening.
The world championship name, you know, to it. But I don't think it's
going to be
on the level of the racing over here in the States. But if it is, it'll probably be years and years. Maybe if they can incorporate it with the MXGPs, which I don't see that happening. That's like a 17-round championship that seems to take up most of the year. So, yeah, that'd be really awkward to see how that is. And that would be weird, though, if Europe kind of turned into what we have going on over here in the States, how we're, you know, full in and supercross, or all in, I should say. Then we
have
a week or two break, and we got outdoors, which I think that's the thing that Europe has going on, because we keep on getting waxed in MXM Nations because they're outdoors all the time, and we're kind of more
super. A little bit of both.
Yeah, it's just we don't, or those riders over here don't have the time outdoors. Like, I'm always hearing them complain about it. And we had Chris Howell on a couple episodes ago, and he was saying how hard it is to transition in that really short span from supercross to outdoors. And then still, like, you're all these guys over here are running such a stiff setup compared to the guys over in Europe, because they're so used to that setup in supercross. And
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, like they have to go all in, I think. And even if they do, like, they, I guess, have to have really good luck on their side to actually pull that off. And if they want to get riders like from over here in the States, or have some GP guys go and do it. But I don't know.
Definitely going to depend on money too. And no one's going to come race for free, essentially, you know?
Yeah. Like, wonder if guys, if they did that in the fall guys did like only a supercross contract, that would be weird. Actually, I never thought of that. Like, if they did supercross over here in the winter, in the spring, and then they go over there for the fall and do supercross. I don't see that happening, but yeah.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But anyways, what other rumors are going around? Kind of touched on a few of them. Anderson and Plessinger.
Yeah, that's basically all the ones that I know. I don't think I know of any other ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's always something, but nothing too much is happening. But I feel like once we get this out, and most people won't listen to it until after October 1st, so all of it's going to be out by then. But hopefully, because I'm kind of ready to hear all the news, because the rumor's been swirling around forever now. But yeah, it should be a good championship. And like you said earlier on, it's going to be so weird seeing Eli on the Star Racing Yamaha team and being teammates.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest change, that Eli and Anderson, just seeing them on different color bikes after it being so long. So I think it'll be good, though. You know, every sport needs a change. And Eli's a big, big name in Supercross, and coming off, you know, his title that he got a year ago. So I think it'll be good for him.
It could be like a really good send-off for Eli, because they did a video. I forgot who it was. If it was the AMA page or whatever, but they did a video with Eli's mechanic talking about him, because he's not traveling with Eli to the Star. He's getting some job.
Yeah, he's doing like an inside job now at Cowie.
Yeah, a team job there at Cowie. And he was talking about how Eli probably has 1 or 2 years left in him. And if that's true, which he's obviously really close to Eli, so he knows his stuff, and he's just not saying that. But, if it's true, you know, wonder if he's going to go all in. And I feel like a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say that he's taking it easy, and even, like, this Supercross season as well, how he doesn't have that same mentality. But I don't know if it's that or just the field getting faster and faster.
The level.
Yeah, just the level and the intensity and everything. But he's still pretty young. He's in his late 20s, and the Star Racing Yamaha team has really got it going on, and they're really killing it. And the amateurs, 250s, pro class, and
everywhere.
And I wonder if it can give them a little bit of a boost. And like the Factory Collie teams for years and years has always been such a huge team. And but kind of obvious or not honest. I can't talk about it. Honestly, since his I said this a few times, but since Collie got that new bike back in 2018, I believe it was.
Yeah.
The first race on that was MX Nations at Redbud, and I feel like ever since then he's been a little bit off, and he's even won that Supercross title since then, a couple years ago. And even then I don't think he was as dominant as he was against Ryan Dungey and who else? Roxon was looking really good when he was on Soaring Eagle then too. That's dating a few years back now, but still, like he looked a little bit off, and obviously, like how we just talked about, the field's getting faster and faster. But wonder if that's gonna the Blue Crew power is gonna get a little bit faster, and who knows, maybe a little bit more comfortable. I have no idea, but just something new.
I know I'm surprised since the season's over with and everything. I'm sure he's had to have ridden a Yamaha. Like within the last few months or weeks or whatever. So I'm surprised we haven't seen a picture yet.
Yeah, I've seen all those Photoshop pictures of
yeah,
you guys, I think it is. Seeing his face Photoshopped on. But yeah, I'm dying to see. Like, I've done it, I'm on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. I'm just looking for some pictures of him or Plessinger or Anderson or whatever. Just some insider, you know, stuff on them. And I'm really excited to see what they can do on their new teams. And Anderson as well. Like, he's looking really good this year. And because after his Supercross title a couple years ago, he's like, he hasn't been up there battling with the guys too much. But he's been looking really good. And I find it funny how I think it was right after he dropped his neck brace and started racing without that. Everyone was talking about how fast he was going. And then same with Marv back in, I think it was Atlanta Supercross this year.
Yeah, I think those things are just too restricting. They don't let you, like, have the right body positioning.
Yeah.
Because even it's like that even in BMX.
Really? Do a lot of guys actually wear those in BMX?
They used to, yeah, a lot. A lot of people. And some people still do to this day. But for me, it's just with the way we ride obviously a little different than they do on Supercross and Motocross. It restricts your upper body too much, in my opinion. It makes your chest poke out, and that's not a good way to ride for us. So as far as us goes, I just don't think it's – and it could be the same way on a motorcycle, you know. I don't know. I don't really ride motorcycles. So that's what I think. I just feel like it constricts you too much, and I'm sure they feel the same way.
And that's how I feel. Like, I haven't rode with one lately. The last one I rode with was, like, an Obliate. But, like, it felt awkward. And then you hear Ryan, he's talking about it. And there's so many arguments all over the social media with the moto industry going back and forth. Because I think a lot of people feel like they're bad for you. And a lot of people are, like saying the total opposite and how they're good and how you don't notice it's there at all. But, I feel like they're... Like, in my opinion, they're in the way, but you know, who knows what they're coming out with some really light and thin ones, so I have no idea. I haven't tried any of those, but you know, it's kind of funny just the timing of all that. If that was actually the case, I just thought it was funny because Marvin, like, he was so fast battling with Elias over the year, and then this year he's kind of seemed off, and he's, you know, getting 8th and 9th place finishes, and then he took that off, and he was.
I think he's done.
Yeah, it's sad to see that he only signed a Supercross deal. Like, I'm pumped that he's back, but for another year. But I don't know. I always found it really cool watching him outdoors, just his style and technique on the bike, and it seemed like he was always up there battling with the top guys, and he was always one of the title favorites for a long time. But he's I think in his mid 30s, so he's up, you know.
Yeah, he's up there for sure.
He's up there for, yeah, the motocross career-wise. And kind of stinks that he made the transition from 250 to 450 so late in his career. But he's had a pretty good career. Shoot, what else was I going to say? I don't know what I was going to get into. But anyways, yeah, the 450 class. Yeah, I'm just really pumped to see that this year. But nothing new. I'm just waiting for all those guys to get signed and all the gossip to get out and everything. But
it'll be good to read in the next few days.
Yeah, and the track layouts have been all announced.
Announced. I saw those today.
Really unfortunate that Detroit's not going back up in the stands. That's my home race. And always up in the stands, but they're not bringing that back this year. But I think the last time was like 2015, maybe. It's been a while. But just to have races and fans back, and I think it's huge. And like Daytona was so weird. I went to Daytona, and it was the stupidest thing ever. It's an outdoor stadium, obviously. And like we were the only ones in our section, and we were like no joke. If you look straight down in front of us, it was like the fly truck and the Alpine Star truck or whatever were there. Like we couldn't even see the track. We had to like get binoculars to like see the riders' numbers and everything. It was stupid, but
yeah,
be back with the fan or have fans back. I think it's huge. And this year, hopefully, it's more normal. I think everyone was saying that about earlier this year and how Supercross was going to be normal for 2021, which it kind of was, but. I think 2022 will be a lot better, and just I guess it depends on what these states do for their laws and their mandates.
Yeah. Hopefully it goes back to being normal and stuff, but it really just depends on. I haven't been paying attention to football, so most of these football stadiums are where Supercross is. So you probably get a hint, but I know it's still 2021, and Supercross is still 2 or 3 months away. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I know, like a few states. Or a couple, I think it was New York and California were posting something. I saw like some NBA page that were saying that the players that were playing in New York,
yeah, they have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, so I'd assume the fans would have to be as well. I have no idea, but I guess that's a whole nother hot topic to get into. When the Supercross season comes around, because like you said, the NFL, I think most of the stadiums are open and you don't have to wear a mask or anything. It's kind of somewhat back to normal, which is great to see. And it seems like it's been like a long year in it, or almost 2 years now. So just really kind of off topic, but really frustrated that they're not bringing back the Red Bull Straight Rhythm too with the whole COVID thing.
That's a bummer.
I think our last year was 2019, and I think that was another really cool thing going on, but I guess. But anyways, how's the BMX racing going?
It's good. Have a few races coming up. We have a little smaller race in Orlando in 2 weeks. I think it's October 8th. And then here in Florida, we have – this is, like, honestly where some of the top pros train down here. So we have, like, our own pro state series, and it starts November 4th, I want to say. So that'll be a good race. And then we have the big final race in Tulsa, Oklahoma in over Thanksgiving. So that's like the main goal right now. That's what I'm pretty much training for. So, and then I'm just using this race in Orlando and Jacksonville, just as pretty much just a warm up, just to see where I'm at, see what I need to work on. Cause it's so nice having so many fast pros that live in Florida that we always get to ride with. So when you go to the big races, you kind of already know where you stack up.
Yeah, that has to be nice, just watching that stuff. Like, I've ridden on a BMX track before, and I feel like I have some good bike skills, but I remember riding that. I'm like, holy crap, it was like a 49 or 50-second lap time, and just by the end of that lap, I was just, like, absolutely beat. Like, I thought I was in shape at the time, too, and I was doing all the jumps or whatever, and then a couple fast guys were riding by me. I'm like, oh, my God, like, how do you have the energy and just – like, you guys are so precise, it looks like, and just over every little jump, like, you know, soaking it up and you know, just trying to get as fast as possible. And, just that intensity, I find, like, it's unreal.
Yeah, no, each lap, like, we may only do 6 laps a day, sometimes even less, but the intensity and the level that you have to be at to perform each lap at the highest level it's insane. I mean, it's impressive. It's cool. But it's, sometimes people are like, you only did 6 laps. I'm like, yeah, but it was 6 laps at like 110%, as hard as you can go.
Yeah, so. I think most like the general public that have no idea with, bicycles or anything, or even fitness in general. It's like they don't get that. Even if it's a minute or if you, 10 minutes of total of ride time, it's like just that intensity. Like I remember doing that and it felt like I had a huge workout, and like it felt like I did some huge, crazy long bike ride. I'm like, I was on the bike for a couple minutes, and like I couldn't even do the things I wanted to do. Like I remember the last section was these rollers, and it's like I couldn't even go through them. I was dead. I was just rolling, you know, like barely getting over those suckers.
Yeah.
the last couple laps, but yeah, just seeing.
Yeah, people don't understand that it's. I mean, yeah, it's easy and stuff. You know, anybody can ride a bike, really. But to do it at that level and that speed and everything, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure, and definitely have a lot of respect for you guys. I feel like a lot of the people in general just hate on anything on two wheels. Like they think motocross is easy because you can just, the gas and throttle there and then go.
Yep.
And you have no physical, no work to do or. They just think it's so easy when in reality it's really hard. And the same with you guys, like get around the lap. And plus, if you're going battling with guys, it's like you can't really hardly make any mistakes at all. I imagine every little corner or heck, everything it has to be so precise. And
yeah, but if you make a mistake, I mean, just the slightest mistake, it shows so bad. Especially these days, just like Supercross, everybody's at such a high level, and there's the field's always deep. No matter what track and what race you go to, you're guaranteed that it's going to be just super hard race. So you have to be almost, at your best every lap, every time you line up in the gate. So, but it's fun. It pushes you. Everybody gets better and stuff. So I enjoy it.
Yeah, it seems really cool. And I've heard, I forgot where I heard it from, but I think it was the Paul Pimet show with Jason Thomas was on there. And he was saying how Connor Fields, after that gnarly get-off, they're talking about him there in the Olympics. And he was actually running the Fly Moto helmet, and how there's, you guys have an option normally of, a BMX versus a Moto helmet. And he was saying how more BMX guys are going towards Moto helmets now because they're safer, but they are heavier or whatever. And I just
wanted to dig on that. Most people, I mean, that I at least that I ride with, we all have the Fly Formula helmet. Most top pros anyways, we ride the best helmet that you can make, just because the speeds that we're going. We have a Supercross hill, which is like an 8 meter hill. It's like three stories, I want to say it is 32 feet or something like that. It's pretty much at the bottom of the hill, you're going close to 40 miles per hour on a little BMX bike. We try to ride with the best helmets, and you saw what happened to Connor, and he was wearing, the same helmet that Bogle probably rides, or whoever sponsored by Fly and Supercross and Motocross. So yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I ride a Fly Formula. Most everybody that I know rides the best helmet that they can ride. Sorry. I'm sure you can hear that. I don't know what my girlfriend's got going on in the background.
You're fine. Yeah. That's what, he was saying, how a lot of the guys were debating on, safety, and then on the other hand, you got a lighter helmet. But I'm like thinking, with all the craziness that you guys do, all the crazy jumps and just that speed and that intensity, I'm like, that's kind of.
Yeah. I was sponsored by 6D a few years ago, and I've rode 6Ds before, and those helmets are pretty heavy. But even it's, once you ride it for a while, you get used to it. And I rode a 100% helmet before. And those things are pretty light, and I fell really bad, and it left the gnarliest knot on my forehead. I was so scared. Like I wouldn't ever ride that helmet again, just because it's too lightweight for BMX, in my opinion. I mean, obviously you saw what happened to Connor, so technically it could happen to any helmet, but I would like to, think that I'm, or at least want to try to be in the best helmet that I could possibly be in.
No, for sure. I think he said that too, how just that's not even really an option with him. And I saw that crash, and I replayed that 5-10 times, just how hard that impact was insane. And luckily,
yeah, it was gnarly.
Doing a little bit better, I hear now. I think he's up and moving on, right?
He's all good. Yeah, he's good. I don't honestly see him ever racing again, just because of the magnitude of it. And I think he's getting ready to get married and all the good life stuff. But yeah, I honestly don't see him ever racing again. I could be wrong, who knows, but when you have something like that of that magnitude and you know, almost losing your life in a sense from the sport that you make your living from, it's almost like you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? And you know, you still have all the rest of your life to live, so who knows, we'll see. I think he's definitely doing better though, and out and about, going to the track, doing clinics, teaching stuff, and so that's good to see. At least he's getting recovered.
And that could have been like way worse, and
way worse. Think,
like how that whole thing went down of not only the crash itself, but like how that was over at the Olympics, and how all the COVID restrictions and everything, and that had to be so bad too. Not like
in a foreign country that it's not your doctors, that's more scary than anything. I feel like you're pretty much just alone in a way, especially with COVID. You know, family was there, so that's wild.
Yeah, I know. Like they shut down the city or they didn't shut it down, but for the Olympics, I heard that they had their like own little city for the Olympics that was like a bubble, pretty much. I heard.
Yeah.
And just the add all the craziness on top of having such a gnarly get off, and I really felt bad for him. And yeah, glad to see he's doing better now though, because yeah, that could have been way worse, and he's probably definitely glad that he picked that helmet. And if you guys haven't seen that crash, definitely recommend looking at that, because that was gnarly.
Yeah, it was gnarly.
Yeah, but so have you been on Supercross the Game lately?
Yes and no. Like me and Josh McLean, Mac Attack 215 on PlayStation 4, if we want to get technical. We'll get on and play a little bit, but honestly, I haven't really played it that much. For some reason I never got really good at it like I was at Supercross 3. I did a few tournaments and stuff with AOSX and everything, and I tried in IOMA, but just with training and everything, ramping up and me racing Elite Men now on BMX, I just feel like I don't have the time to get as good as it as I was at Supercross 3, which is a bummer because I got really good at Supercross 3 right when Supercross 4 was coming out. Like, I was like, you know, top five at every track in Time Attack and everything, and I was starting to kill it. And then like this game comes out, and obviously everybody has a transition over to it and everything. So, but it is what it is. I still get on and play and everything, but we need the Moto 247 championship to come back. That's what I'm waiting on.
Yeah, that's what I actually wanted to do, like a Monster Cup style race. Like I made a track and everything, and it's kind of like a short time frame of getting everything together, and I announced something, and there wasn't too much interest because not too many people are playing it anymore. I'm like,
okay. Yeah, I feel like it's dead right now.
Yeah, like we need just to hype it up a little bit. I have a track made already, and we haven't did anything since the last game, and I haven't really been playing it much either at all. And I haven't, like, honestly, like the third game I played a lot or a good amount with the whole pandemic and being off work for a while, but this second game, I feel like I played that. I was going to college at, during the second game. I played that like every day, and I felt like I was really good at it. And kind of the same thing, I got really good at that right before 3 came out. Like I wish I wasn't that good, you know, doing tournaments earlier on, but
yeah,
those games just amaze me. Like they're so much fun, but like you really have to put in the hours, and it's like not like a video game. You just go on and like you can have fun, but like it seems like you really suck until like X amount of hours playing the game, and if you don't touch it for like a month, like it takes like a little while to get.
Yeah, especially if you want to play tournaments these days, it seems like these kids have nothing better to do but to get good at games like this. Which, whatever, you know, rightfully so. And I just definitely haven't had the time to put in on Supercross 4. I tried and everything. Like I raced the amateur series on AOSX and was getting absolutely destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's just because I just definitely didn't play it enough and everything. But I will say, custom tracks are way better on Supercross 4. Like I enjoy them way. Yeah, the normal tracks are good on Supercross 4, but I think playing custom tracks makes the game way more enjoyable. But I still miss Supercross 3. I think that was the best. What's funny is I never played Supercross 1 or 2 until 3. 3 was my first Supercross game. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, but I think 3 is a lot better. But I'm kind of biased because I was like really good at 2. But
yeah,
it was just so much fun. And it seems like every night, like it was weird. Like if I was like, I'm not going to play tonight. And like everyone would be like, hey, where are you at? Like that's all we did. Like every night was grinding out online tracks, and I really haven't did hardly anything on four until like it had to be like July, and I started playing like when I was eating dinner or whatever. I put in like 30 minutes, and I went from like barely being able to make it around the track to like actually kind of competitive. But I got in the lobby and with a couple guys that do tournaments, and they just had my number. Like I was keeping up with them for like a lap or two, but I was giving it everything I had. And yeah. I think a lot of people that don't play these games realize that it is a lot of work. And a lot of these kids on here that are in high school, that have a lot of time on their hands, unfortunately.
Yeah, they get ridiculously good at the game so quick. Like when the game first came out, I was already like 2 or 3 seconds slower than Axis. And I'm like, the game's been out for 30 minutes. Like, I don't understand. But, you know, that's good on them. That's cool. Like, I wish I was that good or whatever, but
yeah.
I'm a little older. I got different priorities, but still, no, it's cool. And I respect it and everything. And yeah, people definitely don't understand what you have to do to be good at video games. So yeah, it's fun though. I enjoy it. It's cool. I didn't even know the tournament world was a thing until Supercross 3. So, you know, if it ever comes back around, I'm sure I'll mess around with it and still play and stuff. So it's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, they're definitely fun, and I had fun with that. I didn't know any of that was even a thing, really. Like, I never even played online until 2. Like, even on 1 and the GP games before Supercross came out, I just played offline.
Yeah.
Did anything online. I didn't think the online presence was – the presence was as good as honestly. Even in public lobbies, like, they're really goony in there. But still, like, there's a lot of fast guys. Heck, it seems like almost all the time. Maybe not right now in the end of summer going into fall. But, yeah, I never knew about it. And then I think I did – our first tournament – the first tournament I raced in was SSI. After that, I decided to do our own championship, the Moto 247 thing, and that thing took off. That thing was, I think we did two seasons in Supercross 2, which was pretty cool. And we went from like having 9-10 riders a race, so it was like, okay, here's our night show, and we're done. It was like,
yeah,
the night was 20 minutes long, not even. And then, the final season we did last year during Supercross 3.
I feel like it was huge.
Yeah, like it was huge. Like I remember we had to have like almost 40 guys sign off, and it was almost like a real life Supercross thing. Like, I mean, qualifying wise and everything, and how you actually had to try. And I remember racing like Ioma and stuff, and I was actually kind of nervous. I got a hurry monitor on, and I mountain bike and do all that.
Yeah.
And my heart rate was up. Like I was actually working out and mountain biking and stuff, which I found.
No, I know. It's funny. The adrenaline, you get adrenaline rush and everything. And it's just the damn video games I think it's fun, man. I think it's so cool.
I was dying laughing one time. I'm like, I feel like my heart's beating really fast. And I'm like, so the next race for Ioma, it was like the main event. And we're sitting there on the line about ready to take off, and I look, it's like 155. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, like, it's funny, just for a video game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more nervous for this than actually going out and having like some important mountain bike race or whatever. But yeah, I didn't find it fun. And yeah, going back to our last championship last year was definitely a lot of fun. And I went from racing my own, because there wasn't a race director, as you know, and two, so yeah, when once that came out, I stopped racing my own, because I kind of felt weird doing that, and especially as
the
7 championship grew
and got bigger, you couldn't do it.
Yeah, do the race director, and that's how I got slow, because it wasn't forcing me to actually play the game. But like honestly, it was pretty fun. A lot of people were like, how you doing that? Because I was actually the first one to really do that. Now it seems like every tournament
that's everybody's out, you know, there's so many tournaments now. I think that's why it's dying. Just everybody and their brother has a tournament or a league, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, like when I was trying to get something going beginning of this year, it seems like everyone has one. And it's like, I don't know, I think it was cool when we had like 2 or 3 big ones going
on. I agree.
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of fun using Race Director and announcing the races, and it was definitely a lot of fun too, because of the championship was really close. It came down to you and Talon in the last round going into
it was a good battle for sure.
I think you guys were tied in points, and the Axis was down like 8 points or something. So I just remember all the craziness going into the last round of the championship. And so hopefully for the next game. We'll be back doing another championship. I wanted to this year, just didn't have the time. It takes a lot of time, as you know. And
oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be on your end of the series. I don't want to be the director.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
I couldn't imagine dealing with everybody.
Oh my god, and there's a lot of kids too. Like we're saying, fast people are kids because they have time on their hands, a lot of time, and yeah, there's a lot of drama as well. Because when it messed up too, that game glitched out a lot, and it's like,
oh god, I know.
I just remember all the kids just flipping out, and it was pretty fun in announcing the races. And you know, watching the close battles, so like just a ton of drama and people taking out people, and it's like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, I know.
At that point, it went from being something fun to like just something that like
was like a job.
Yeah, I'm like, this is miserable, and then you're trying to do everything after that. And I was actually talking to MTJ. He has his own championship that he got done, I think, like a couple weeks now, and he was like talking about just how glad he was to get it over. And he's like, there was a lot of drama there. So, yeah, I don't know. It was fun to do, except for the times when there was drama. But you know, I'd like to bring it back for next year and play and battle with you guys more. And who knows, just maybe even racing to Iowa. That championship really has it going on. And,
yeah, for sure.
Because I don't know, I kind of laugh when, you know, just talking about the general public's perception on video games. And it's like, I think they have no idea what, like, the Supercross games or, heck, you know, GPs, all those motocross games are like. It's just a lot of fun, but it's so stacked, and along with the real life motocross
world. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, just I guess everyone's chasing after Axis. It seems like that guy's always small.
Basically.
Faster. Yeah, I remember in four, you said you were 2 seconds down. And I'm like, I put in a good lap on Time Attack, and I don't really know what track was at, but it was like 5-something down from him. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna shut off
this. I know.
Or I'm here for like 5 hours straight, like staying up till midnight or whatever. But I don't know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyways, yeah, I think we touched on everything I wanted to talk about, and yeah, good luck to you and your future BMX races, and definitely watching. And
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely have to watch and see how you do, and you know, always fun. Like I said earlier in that episode, like I'm just amazed by what you guys can do and just how fast you guys are going. It seems like someone took a video and just like fast forwarded it like a lot, and because you guys are just absolutely home.
Oh yeah, no, it's good for sure, man.
And that's a wrap. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 27 of the Moto247 show. As you guys already know, since you already listened to it, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple, it's on most podcast platforms, along with some of the clips from this podcast will be up on our YouTube as well, on the Moto247 YouTube. We'll get those going. No, I'll get those. Hopefully they're up by the time I get this podcast up here as well. But yeah, we got that going on our YouTube, plus we have some more stuff. And also, when I'm talking about our YouTube here, once we hit 1,000 subscribers, we're a little bit, you know, far away from 1,000 right now. But once we do, we're giving away a free custom set of Prism Designs graphics. So go over there, check out our YouTube clips of this podcast along with our other podcast, and hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. And who knows, you might be the lucky winner of those Prism Designs graphics. But anyways, getting to our future podcast, we have some few guests on board, and we just have to record them now, and I'm really pumped on who we're having on board, and I think you guys are really enjoy these future podcasts that we have planned. So stay tuned. I will announce who's on next. Hopefully here pretty soon. And yeah, give it a listen. Anyways, thank you guys so much. Peace out.